Welcome to the November 19th, 2006 worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today's sermon is presented by Reverend Raymond Smith and is entitled, Consider Yourself Commissioned. If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now for our worship service.
Well, good morning. It's great to see everyone this morning. It's good to hear you visiting with one another, catching up on the events of the week. We're delighted that you're here with us. You may notice that I am not Jeff Allen, Associate Pastor of Minnesota. Now, Jeff and Jason are off with our youth at Ridgecrest, which accounts for about four rows of empty pews here at the front. William, you're by yourself there, buddy. I'll come sit down with you in a minute, all right? You're okay. It's going to be all right. Our youth are at Ridgecrest. They're having a retreat up there with a number of other churches from our association, and they were doing well when I saw them yesterday, and parents, they were saying that they needed more food, whatever that means, but that's teenagers, so they'll be back this afternoon, and I know that they've had a wonderful experience up there. I want to say a word to you as you're beginning to see the children come in. It's a delightful sight, isn't it? It really is. Hi, kids. All right. As you prepare for worship, we want to ask that if you would, there's a pew pad that are on the ends of the pews there. If you would, if that is closest to you, if you would take that and go ahead and begin signing your name again. If you are a guest with us, we ask that you provide as much information as you feel comfortable in terms of your address and phone number and email and that type of thing. If you're a regular attender and have signed it numerous times, then your name is all that is required there, unless you've had a change of address or change of email or something in that regard. So as you begin passing that, we want to ask that begin, look around you, notice who's around you, because we'll be greeting guests in just a few minutes here. But while you're signing that pad, I want to ask Gary Elkins if he would come and give us a report on Team I Am.
Just want to give everybody a quick report on our first Team I Am project that took place yesterday. I think by any measure, and I hope everyone would agree with me, I think it was a huge success. Our first project was a blind lady who lives in the area, lives independently, but still needed quite a few things done, both inside and outside her house. We had a crew of about 25 yesterday. We worked from about 9:30 until about 1:30 or 2, and just got a lot of good stuff done for this lady, and I think it was just a great first project. And we did take pictures, and the pictures sometime in the next couple of days will be posted on the website, so if you want to go in there and take a look at it. So I just want to give everybody an update on that, and I won't name any names, but I just want to thank everybody that came out to help yesterday or has helped, you know, with preparations leading up to yesterday. I'm very, very appreciative. I know the whole church body is, and I hope for our next project we can get more folks involved. What we are probably going to do, because this is meant to be a quarterly project, we'll take a few weeks off and get through the holiday season. Maybe shortly after Christmas, we'll start scouting out our next project, probably looking at a mid-February, early March date, something like that. So we will keep everyone posted. If anybody's got any questions, just feel free to ask me. I'll be glad to answer them. Thanks.
I want to also note that this morning, children, during the last stanza of Holy, 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 if you'll come forward, we'll have children's time immediately following that hymn. So be prepared for that. Also tonight, during our normally scheduled life worship service time, we'll be going out. You heard mention of that. Jason spoke about it briefly last week. And many of you that came understand what we're doing. But for those who don't, we'll be meeting here right at 7 o'clock. And then we'll be going out to the places that we went previously. Our idea is that we want to be consistent in letting the people in the community know that we appreciate them and that we want to be there for them, to pray for them and to encourage them. And if we're given an opportunity to share our testimony with them and let them know how much Christ means to us and that we are praying for them as well. So we'll be meeting at 7 o'clock and be probably leaving here by about 10 minutes after. So If you're planning on being part of that adventure into the community this evening, we invite you to be with us at 7 o'clock for that. Also, if you have items that you forgot to bring last week to put in the Thanksgiving baskets or buckets that are going out, you can still bring them tonight. Or if you have fresh baked goods that you didn't want to sit here for a whole week getting stale, certainly feel free to bring those tonight at 7 o'clock. I also want to remind you that this Wednesday evening, there's a little bit of change to our schedule in the sense that we will not have our children's activities, but we will have our supper. Supper line will begin at 5:30 at its normal time. And then at the conclusion of supper, we'll begin moving in here for our Thanksgiving Eve service. So I want to invite you to be a part of that. You also have a bulletin insert. And this week it actually has the correct day on it, as well as the correct date, and it has the time. This coming Saturday, November the 25th, here in the sanctuary at 7 o'clock, we will have the reunion concert of all these young people that have helped us to establish this ministry and have had an opportunity to lead in worship and to reach their friends for Christ. So if you would, come and be a part of that beginning at 7 o'clock this coming Saturday. We want to speak a word of welcome to our guest. If you're here this morning and are not a member of College Park, or perhaps this is the first time that you've been visiting with us, we want to extend a special welcome to you. We have some ushers that are coming to the front here, and they're going to be returning back down the aisle. And as they do so, if you're a guest for the first time, if you would just kind of catch their eye or wave at them a little bit, raise your hand high enough just where they can see you, they've got some information that they would like to give you. This information has our weekly mail out. It also has several letters of greeting, as well as information about the ministries at College Park. And I hope that you'll take an opportunity to look at all that information. And if we can help you and provide a church home for you, we'd be glad to talk with you about that. Yes, sir. Yes, come on up, Gary.
I'm sorry, I forgot to mention, some people left their coach yesterday. There were two or three of them. I picked them up and put them in the church office. They're just laying in a chair in there, so if you're missing a coat and you know you left it, that's where it is.
Thanks. Okay. Thank you. They'll miss it tonight when they... All right, very good. I think that's all the announcements we have. Again, members, look around. You notice where our guests were and be sure and greet them at some point that's appropriate this morning. I want to invite us now to enter into a time of preparation for worship. And as we do that, there's a printed invitation to share in worship in your order of service. I want to invite you to join me in standing as we read this responsively. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth.
Sing to the Lord.
Praise His name.
Declare
His glory among the nations, His marvelous deeds among all peoples.
For great is the Lord, and most worthy of praise.
He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the nations are idols.
But the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before Him. Strength and glory are in His sanctuary.
Thank you. You may be seated.
Our Father, we are so thankful to be in Your presence this morning. Lord, we praise You for the love that You show us without end. Lord, for the freedoms that You give us. Lord, knowing that the freedoms that You give us Lord, are with boundary. And Lord, we praise you for the boundaries that keep us safe. Lord, for the boundaries that keep us within your will. And Lord, we praise you for your guiding hand in the midst of all of that. Lord, we praise you for your never-ending, all-encompassing love. Lord, forgive us for the days that we come into this place, Lord, and for the days that we walk during the week, Lord, where we are not mindful of it. Lord, for those times when we're too occupied with the other things that are going on in our lives to recognize your presence. And so we pray as we come into this place this morning, Lord, open our eyes so that we can see you. Open our ears so that we might hear you. And open our hearts, Lord, so that we might follow you wholeheartedly and completely. Lord, we offer this time up to you. We offer our lives to you. Lord, may all that we do and all that we say bring glory to your name. In Jesus' name, amen.
We ask this morning, as each section of the Litany of Holiness is read, that in your bulletin you read with us the bold print, "We offer our life to you, Lord." Shout joyful praises to God, all the earth.
Sing about the glory of his name.
Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty.
We offer our lives to you, Lord.
How awesome are his deeds, Lord.
Your enemies cringe before your mighty power.
Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty.
We offer our lives to you, Lord.
Everything on earth will worship you.
They will sing your praises, shouting your name in glorious songs.
Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty.
We offer our lives to you, Lord.
Come and see what our God has done.
What awesome miracles he does for his people.
Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty.
We offer our lives to you, Lord.
Come, let us rejoice in who he is.
For by his great power he rules forever.
Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty.
We offer our lives to you, Lord.
Let the whole world bless our God and sing aloud his praises.
Our lives are in his hands, and he keeps our feet from stumbling.
How could we not offer our lives to him? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty.
We offer our lives to you, Lord.
Lord God Almighty,
Well, hi there. How are y'all doing? Yeah. We have a few coming. Yeah, they're coming down the stairs in the back. We'll wait on them just a minute. Yeah, can you find a place? Let me scoot over here. Make more room here. Yeah, get on the top step. Yes, that's a beautiful dress. You're welcome. We're going to talk about a word this morning that we say it a lot in church, but we may not really understand what it means. And the word is forgiveness. What does forgiveness mean to you? When I say that word, what do you see in your mind? Forgiveness. I'll let you think about that for just a minute. I'm going to share one thing that I kind of think of. I have two things really, but the first one is, you remember a long, long time ago, they came up with this thing called the mark and whiteboard. Yeah, you remember those? You probably don't remember when they created them, but this is kind of like one of those, except it's already got a few stuff written on it in permanent marker. But what they did when they first came out with them, they were white. They were white, and you could take these cool little markers, and you could write on them. Draw a little stick figure there. Isn't he cool? All right. Smile, two eyes. You could write on these things, and then if you made a mistake or you wanted to change it, just wiped it right off. Before that, we had these ancient things called chalkboards. Right? And you put chalk on it, and you erased it, but it never really got it off there. Until a guy came around once a week and sprayed the stuff and cleaned it or something. But mark and whiteboards, to me, when you think about forgiveness, for example, if I was going to draw this guy again, and I was going to put feet on him, and this one looked good, and now, whoa, my hand slipped. He's got this really big looking foot. That's kind of an oops thing, right? So I could go in and I could erase that foot and put a good foot on him.
That one's still bigger.
I know it is still bigger, isn't it? Yeah. Okay, tell you what we can do. We could just, a light bulb? Okay. We could just erase the whole thing and start over. You know, sometimes when we do things that are wrong, God says, tell you what, because Jesus died for you, we're just going to erase the whole thing and let you start over. If you mess up, you can erase the whole thing and start over. That's what forgiveness is. It's when God says, I know you did something that's wrong, but because you told me that you did something wrong and you're sorry for that and you want a new start, I'm going to erase the slate and you get to start over. Isn't that a cool thing? That's kind of what forgiveness means. You know, the other thing I think about when I talk about forgiveness, the other thing is the cross. And why would you think that I would think about the cross? Because that's where Jesus died. And because he died on the cross, we have forgiveness. If we'll ask God to forgive us of our sins, that he will forgive us because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. Isn't that cool? And so I'm going to give you a little cross necklace this morning. And every time you see it, I want you to think about the fact that Jesus died for your sins. And because he died for your sins, if you'll ask him to forgive you, he will. Okay? All right, we're going to pass these out. Hopefully, with these, quote, non-tangled cords, we'll be able to get them out pretty cleanly here. If you'll just take them and kind of pass them out. Be generous and pass it to your neighbor. There you go. Would you like one? Pass those down. Last week when we were in big church in here, we talked about a passage in Hebrews. And the book of Hebrews is really kind of interesting to study because it talks about the fact that Jesus died once for all. In other words, he died on the cross, but he only had to do that one time because he was the perfect sacrifice. Okay, and we're going to talk a little bit about that again this morning and how that relates to us and how we serve God. But as you wear these crosses, I want you to remember that we're forgiven by the fact that Jesus died on the cross for us. Okay, everybody have one? William, you got one over there, bud? Okay. Everybody else have one down there? Oh, there's still some more there. Okay. All right, anybody else? Y'all need some? Keaton, need one down there, buddy? All All right. Sophie, you get one, honey? Everybody else have one? Okay. Let's have a word of prayer together. Dear Father, we thank you for the fact that your Son died for us and that you gave him as a perfect offering, a sacrifice, so that when we mess up and we do things that are wrong, that we can come to you and ask forgiveness, and that you'll wipe the slate clean and give us a brand new start. And it's because of Jesus and in his name that we pray. Amen. Make back your seats now. It's wonderful to see young lives, isn't it? And children, the excitement they have. As we read together from God's Word this morning, our lectionary readings will be first from 1 Samuel chapter 1, beginning in verse 4. And we'll be reading down through verse 20. First Samuel chapter 1, beginning in verse 4. Whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to his wife, Peninnah, and to all of her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he gave a double portion because he loved her, and the Lord had closed her womb. And because the Lord had closed her womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. This went on year after year. And whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat. And Elkanah, her husband, would say to her, "Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons? Once when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting on a chair by the doorpost of the Lord's temple. And in bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. And she made a vow, saying, "O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head." And as she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk, and he said to her, "How long will you keep on getting drunk? Get rid of your wine." "Not so, my lord," Hannah replied. "I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I've not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief." And Eli answered, "Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you've asked of him." She said, "May your servant find favor in your eyes." Then she went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. Early the next morning they arose and worshiped before the Lord, and then went back to their home in Ramah. Elkanah lay with Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time Hannah conceived and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, "Because I ask the Lord for him." Our gospel reading comes from Mark chapter 13. Mark chapter 13 for the first 8 verses. And as he was leaving the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what massive stones, what magnificent buildings." "Do you see all these great buildings?" replied Jesus. "Not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down." As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite of the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will these things happen? And what will be the sign that they are about to be fulfilled?" And Jesus said to them, "Watch out that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name, claiming, 'I am he,' and will deceive many. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places and famines. These are the beginning of birth pains." May God bless the reading and the understanding of his word. Let's pray together. Our most gracious Father, as we read your word and we seek to understand it. Father, we are constantly challenged. Challenged that in our own lives we would lead the kind of lives that represent you well as your ambassadors. And Father, as we worship together, we have prayed that our lives would be changed and that what we experience in worship would lead us closer to you. And Father, we know as we draw closer to you, then we're going to care much better for each other. And so at a time in the worship service where we focus in on the needs around us and caring for our people, we pray that as we gather together in your name, that our hearts would be touched by you, that you would allow us to see others with your eyes, to see the hurt and to see the need. And Father, we know that we've experienced much in our state as well as our nation this week. In our own community, there have been tragedies. There have been those who have lost loved ones. And Father, we pray that we'd be faithful as your people to love and encourage those who have experienced loss. Within our state, there are those who have been devastated by tornadoes and the hurt and the physical harm as well as the as well as the emotional stress that these people are under. Father, we pray that in whatever way that you lead, in whatever way that we're able, that we would provide support. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be in the community as we were yesterday, providing some physical assistance as well as emotional and spiritual support for a lady who needed some assistance. And Father, we pray that you will continue to bless our efforts as we reach out into this community, corporately as well as individually, to touch lives, to share the love of Jesus Christ, to provide assistance, and Father, most of all, to provide the love and the touch and the compassion that Jesus showed as he walked and lived among us. Father, we are so grateful for all that you've given us, but we know with those gifts comes a great deal of responsibility that you've given to us so that we can bless others. And it's with that in mind we continue in worship. And we pray that you would inspire us and touch our hearts and change them so that this week we would live lives that are indeed changed. These things we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Dear God, as we worship together, we thank Thee for all the blessings that You have given us. This place we thank You especially for, because among other things we can freely worship here. We give thanks for those who work together to make College Park Baptist Church happen, and those who continue to work to keep it here. We thank You also for our Baptist heritage. We know that Your leadership enabled our forebearers to lead in the establishment of religious freedom, and those whose vigilance has enabled us to continue to exercise this precious right. We thank You for the mission efforts at home and abroad and the individuals who have helped to spread Your word into millions of lost souls. But our hearts are troubled as we see and hear efforts from many of our leaders to restrict us as to where and how and to whom we should spread the gospel and open our arms to all Your creation. We fear doctrines of exclusion which run counter to the all-encompassing love of God which we embrace. We pray for our church, its mission efforts, and we pray for the state and national Baptist organizations which many of us have loved and supported for so long. We ask guidance as we deal with actions which puzzle and concern us. Help us to continue to spread the gospel of Christ and the overwhelming love of God in the ways in which You would have us do it. Amen.
This morning we are going to pick up our lectionary reading is from Hebrews. And just to give you a word of explanation, this week someone asked me, where do we come up with the readings that we do in Scripture? It follows the Revised Common Lectionary, which is a systematic reading of God's Word. And so when we have readings on Sunday mornings, it's usually, as you've probably noticed, an Old Testament reading, a gospel reading, and then one of the epistles. Now, that does change around a little bit, but that's generally kind of the thing. And then I'll select one of those, either gospel, sometimes Old Testament, or the epistle to speak from. So this morning, I wanted to follow up with the sermon from last week, where we talked about the blood of Christ and Christ's sacrifice once and for all. This morning, we're going to be talking about being commissioned as priest. And I want to read from Hebrews chapter 10. We'll be picking up in verse 11 of Hebrews chapter 10 and be reading down through verse 25 of the same chapter. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices which can never take away sin. But when this priest, referring to Christ, had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. Since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool, because by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First, he says, "This is the covenant I will make with them after that time, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts and I will write them on their minds." Then he adds, "Their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more." And where these have been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. As you read this passage, I don't know if it struck you, but the exquisite promises that the writer, the book of Hebrews, makes, well, quite frankly, it makes me a little bit uncomfortable for this reason. Don't get me wrong, I am very grateful. I am grateful really beyond measure for the affirmation of the truth of Jesus Christ's priestly work, its sufficiency for everyone, its comfort and its assurance for me personally, and its revolutionary promise regarding forgiveness, as we talk with the children about. But then I ponder the implications of this blessing, the responsibility that's mine as a beneficiary of Christ's offering. The ministry of Jesus has become my ministry. The ministry of Jesus has become your ministry. We've been made priests. We've been commissioned. We've been called by God and commissioned by Christ. We're part of a priesthood. Now, frankly, this priesthood thing, when I first realized that, there was a sense of heaviness almost. Because as you think about priesthood, maybe one of the first things that comes to your mind is, oh no, more stuff to do. As if my list of duties that, you know, one more thing to do or another stack of stuff to do. More duties. More things to do. But after I reflected further, I realized that the basic issue here is not more task to be assumed. The issue is a basic identity to be embraced and to be enjoyed. See, being commissioned by Christ as part of the priesthood of believers is not about stuff to do. It's about who we are. It's our identity, who we are in Christ, a recognition of who we are that prods us to be what God has created us to be. That kind of understanding of our priesthood births within us a sense of excitement, or it should, a sense of excitement and a sense of anticipation of what God is going to do through us and with us. Now, it wasn't included in today's reading, but I want to read a couple other passages to you that I think kind of expound a little bit and give some clarity. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, and then 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 8 through 11. As he is writing, he says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you're the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." And from chapter 4, verse 8, "Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever." You see, Christ, who extended grace to us, expects us to extend it to others. Just as we receive mercy from him, he expects us to be merciful to others. If we've been blessed by the priestly ministry of Jesus, we've also been charged to bless others. Christ has appointed us and commissioned us to this privilege. It's who we are. The author of 1 Peter really speaks to that with clarity, leaves very little doubt. You are a chosen race. He said, once you were not a people, now you are a people of God. You are a chosen race, the priesthood. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean for us? Jesus, we agree, has offered the ultimate sacrifice, right? He's cleared the way. He's given us an opportunity to relate to God personally. So what's left for us to do? If he's taken care of that, what are we supposed to do? What is the nature of the priesthood that we've been called to? And I think that the passage that we've read today from Hebrews chapter 10, if we'll examine it, it kind of gives us an outline of what we've been commissioned to do as priests. If you're taking notes, we'll probably have about four or five opportunities to see how Jesus has commissioned us in various ways. The first way is that Jesus has commissioned us to a priesthood of forgiveness. Verse 18. "And where these have been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin." You see, what we see in Jesus points us to the very nature of God and to the nature of our lives as people of God. In other words, what Jesus did, he expects us to do. You see, he forgave sin, and he expects us to be facilitators of forgiveness. Now, be warned, that can be scandalous work at times. See, because everybody knows someone that we think probably doesn't deserve forgiveness, right? If we're honest, you think, well, that person or that group of people probably really don't deserve forgiveness. Jesus, though, reveals in the Gospels that God is not a moralist. He is not an accountant. He's not a rules maker. He's not some sort of cosmic policeman that waits for us to mess up so he can punish us. He's not a power broker. He is someone who offers freely love and forgiveness for our acceptance. He does that to take the burden of sin off of our back, because he knows that is not why we were created. We were created to have fellowship with him. Sin stands in the way of that fellowship. He desires fellowship with us. And so he gave us a way to get rid of the sin, to take it away from us so that the fellowship can be restored. If you remember back in John chapter 8, Jesus encountered a lady who had been caught in sin. Her particular sin was adultery. And as he encountered this lady, you remember that one of the things that he said, one of the first things that he said to the people who were the accusers is, if you don't have any sin, then pick up the rock and go ahead and give it a whirl. If you are sinless, then you can cast the stone. Go ahead. Anyone? He looked at the lady after the lynch mob had dissipated and said, where are your accusers? Where are those who would condemn you? And she said, they're gone. He said, they don't condemn you, and neither do I. But then he offered her a word of encouragement. He said, as you leave this place, leave your sinful life behind. Go and live a life free from sin, free from the burden of sin, free from the punishment of sin. That was the encouragement that he offered to her. He said something so profound. He gave us a picture of the identity of God combined with his ministry. And as we take that, that should inform our priestly efforts. If we are to be a priesthood of forgiveness, we have to really understand what it means to love unconditionally and to be willing to truly forgive. No priest of God can rightly withhold forgiveness from an individual because God has offered forgiveness freely. Therefore, we have no right to withhold it. If someone comes to us and asks forgiveness and we are a miser with forgiveness and withhold it from them, that is just as much a grievous sin as whatever they would come to confess and to ask forgiveness from. Secondly, Jesus has commissioned us to a priesthood characterized by humble confidence. If you look in verse 19, it says, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus. An humble confidence. The work of Jesus fills us with confidence regarding our ability to experience forgiveness in our own lives and the opportunity to engage God in the holy of holies of everyday life. You see, that is the authority that we need to function as priests to each other. That kind of confidence. That confidence, though, should not be confused with arrogance. We have confidence in what Jesus did for us, not arrogance, not spiritual arrogance and pride. Our responsibility is to serve one another, not try to play God, not try to assume God's role in the relationship, but to serve one another. Knowing with that kind of confidence, knowing the sufficient work of Jesus allows us to speak boldly about Jesus, to commend him to other people, to invite other people to get to know the Jesus that we serve, and then to serve each other again compassionately in Jesus' name without trying to take on ourselves the role of Jesus. So confident are we of what Jesus is and does that we are humbly able to refrain from judging other people and proclaiming who is and who is not acceptable to God. Thirdly, Jesus commissions us to a priesthood of hopefulness. Look in verse 23. Let us hold unswervingly. There's a good word. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. For he who promised is what? Faithful. He's faithful. What good news. What good news for God's people. God keeps his promises. He is faithful. And the promise of the work of Jesus is forgiveness, reconciliation, and meaning in life. One of the biggest stressors in 21st century America is people who are hopeless because they think that life has no meaning anymore. one of the biggest questions that arises as you talk with people about their relationship with God, whoever they may think that is what does it all mean? God provides meaning by showing that there's hope. He gives meaning to life by giving us hope, not only of what has taken place, but what will come. If you've seen the news this week, you saw people in Columbus County who were devastated by this tornado. Before that, you saw faces of those who had experienced floods. Before that, you saw on the news faces of those whose property had been completely scorched, had been burnt. Before that, you see the faces of Katrina, Hurricane Katrina. For these people, they have experienced what would seem like hopeless circumstances. Things have gone very badly for them. And for them, depression seems a whole lot more fitting than positive expectation. These individuals do not want to listen to some sort of easy optimism or maybe some sort of promises based on a hunch. What they need is the substance of hope. And the substance of hope consists not of some Pollyanna view of the future, but rather a solid biblical basis for hope that's based in the past, what Jesus has done for us, but also a realistic view of the future of what Jesus has promised. God keeps His promises. Look what God has done. We have every reason to live with vibrant, expectant hope and to encourage other people to do the same. Amen? That is a message that the world desperately needs to hear. And I argue that the world wants to hear it. They're just not sure what it is yet. And we have to be the ones to take that message of hope to a world that is very hopeless. Fourth, I want us to notice that Jesus commissions us to a priesthood provocative of love. In verse 24, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Because we have been loved lavishly is the only word I can think of. So lavishly, we should love responsibly. See, to experience the love of God through the revelation and the actions of Jesus is to live by love ourselves. Because He loved us first, then we love. It's a response. Virtually nothing in this whole passage from Hebrews about priesthood makes sense if the foundation is not built on love. That's the point. That was the reason for the sacrifice that we read about back in chapter 9. That is the reason. God so loved us that He sent His only begotten Son. That profound expression of love that Jesus gave through giving Himself. And our subsequent priesthood reeks with a lack of authority if both the words and actions that we express are not transparent to that same kind of love. Finally, Jesus commissions us to a priesthood that is encouraging. In verse 25, it says, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Encouraging. To us is given a very happy responsibility, I believe, rooted in the love of God and the grace of Jesus of enabling one another. Enabling one another to feel better about who we are in Christ Jesus. How He has gifted us. How He has gifted us for service. How He has given us talents to glorify Him. So that we can recognize the possibility in our own lives, in the lives of others, and to face the future with joy and eager anticipation of what God is going to continue to do through us. Conversely, any priesthood that trades primarily in prohibitions, judgment, negatives, condemnation is not the priesthood commissioned by Jesus. Our commission as priests is accompanied by the promise of love and encouragement and forgiveness. Jesus offers to us forgiveness. We should exude confidence. We should confess our hope in Jesus Christ. We should be prompted by love. We should provide encouragement. And we need not worry, hear this, we need not worry about the results of our efforts. We embrace the priesthood and we work accordingly because that's who we are. But we do not have to worry about the success of our efforts. Why? Because the results of our priestly work have already been assured by the one who calls us and commissions us as priests. That's his work. That's the work of our Savior. That's the work of our Lord. We are to be faithful, to live as righteous people of God, the priesthood of believers. So consider yourself commissioned into the priesthood. Let's pray together. Dear Father, we love you. And Father, we know that our love for you is in response because you first loved us. And so as we accept who we are as part of a royal priesthood, we do so with excitement, with confidence, with joy, with eager anticipation of what you will do through us this afternoon, this evening, tomorrow, next week, next month. Father, it gives us reason to live. It gives us reason for hope. It gives us reason for joy. And Father, we pray that as we live out that kind of life, that others would see Jesus in us. That they would see the one who has commissioned us into this priesthood. Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son. We pray that we'd be faithful to be ambassadors, to live up to the name of Christian. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. This morning we've had a time of opportunity to worship together. And I hope that you have heard the voice of God speaking to you, touching you at your point of need, encouraging you where you feel that you need encouragement, but also convicting you, maybe at the point where you need conviction. That's part of what it means to approach the throne. And as we approach the throne in worship, he leads us toward decision and conviction. And I pray that this morning, if you have an opportunity, that you will share with us what God is doing in your life. It may be that you would like to come forward and renew and recommit yourself to Jesus. If you're not a believer, we want to give you an opportunity to make that decision, to accept what we've been talking about this morning, the forgiveness and the assurance that Jesus offers. Be glad to share with you how you can receive Jesus Christ. If you feel led, we want to invite you to come to the altar and pray, that the Holy Spirit would be free to move among us, that it would be able to convict and to lead us and encourage us into a point of decision. And we also want to extend open doors. As a body of Christ, if you would like to join this fellowship of believers, we have many ways that we receive new members, and we'd be glad to talk with you about those ways and make way possible for you to be a part of College Park Baptist Church. Now, whatever your decision is, we want to invite you to make that as we stand and sing together now.
peace. Have a wonderful afternoon. Let's pray together now as we depart. Dear Father, we pray your blessings on us, that we would fully understand what it means to be your people. The privilege, the honor, the peace, the comfort. In Jesus' precious name that we pray.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.